welcome to Sunrise Community Church. We are so glad that you're here with us today to spend some time worshiping together. And if you're with us for the first time or you've never filled one out, please go on our website to sunrise.church/welcome and fill out the welcome communication card.
Yeah, we have continued our online presence with the Backshed Bible Study, Pastors Live, and Luke Miller podcast, so make sure you join there. But happening in person, we also have youth group on Wednesdays now as well to join. We've been having a lot of fun, and we hope you come and connect with us.
I am so excited that youth has started up again on Wednesday nights, and we are so looking forward to kids' classes being able to start up again on Sundays also. We're shooting for a date in July, and parents, you will be getting some emails home about that in the next couple weeks. We're just really looking forward to being with your kids again. And, you know, speaking of how things are moving forward, we do want to thank you, everybody, for the way you've continued to generously give to the ministry here at Sunrise Community Church. And this morning, you're going to see a slide come up that's going to show you some different ways that you can give. And we just thank you for that.
Yeah, and right now we just want to pray for our tithes and offerings as we receive them this morning. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, we thank you for the gift of generosity and how you've used that to just impact people. And so we say, have your way with today, and thank you for another Sunday where we get to connect together, whether it be online or in person. God, would you do what only you can do on this Sunday? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now we just like to invite you to enjoy this music, to worship together. Have a great morning.
My weapon is Hello and welcome to Sunrise. I am so glad that you are able to join us on this very special day. Can you guess what day it is? Have I given you a big enough hint? A very special Happy Canada Day to all of our Canadians that are out there in our congregation. And hopefully you're going to have a great barbecue and spend time with friends today and reminisce about all the great hockey games that you've watched over the years. At least that's what I'm going to be doing. And don't worry, next week is Independence Day and we get to celebrate this. And let me tell you, for you as a congregation, you really need to embrace this, because if you embrace Canada Day and get the barbecue that day and then barbecues and everything that goes along with Independence Day, you're getting the full meal deal all in 1 week. And so that's just my promo, I guess, for this on how I've decided to come wear this attire today. But I'm glad you're able to join us. And it's a great day, not just because of what we're celebrating. It's a great day because we're celebrating being together. And that means whether we're in person, whether it means we're online, whatever it is, we're that larger community, that larger body of Christ. And I'm so glad that you're able to be a part of it. Last week, you got a break or an intermission, and you took a break from Haggai, and Pastor Cliff was preaching, and we're jumping right back into Haggai this week, and we're going to be talking about holiness. And as you take your Bibles, you can turn to chapter 2. We're going to be reading from verses 10 to 14. We've been going through this bit by bit and seeing what it means for God's people to follow God in the midst of restart, or the term that we've been using a lot at Sunrise, which is relaunching. And for the people of Israel, they waited a lot longer than we've waited to get back together. Yet they're asking a lot of the questions that we're asking right now. And last time we talked about what it means for us to give God the glory in wherever he leads us. Something that is often difficult, because often we find ourselves being put in a place where we want something, and we want, in this case, church to look like something, or we want our own lives to look like something. But if God leads us in a different direction, do we realize that if we go where God is leading us, then it's going to be better than anything that we could have ever thought of? And giving God the glory in that is something that is so important, and it's something that the people of Israel forgot to do. Now, today we're talking about keeping it holy and what that means for us, and being holy in a world that often it is somewhat tough to be holy in and be a Christ follower in. And so I want to talk about that today. And if you've got your Bibles, you can follow along. And it's some interesting questions that get asked here. Two key questions that get asked here. And we're going to take it apart bit by bit and see what this means for us. So, Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew or some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer, there is defiled. This is a very interesting passage. And often we think about it being about food law, which is something that is very important to the people of Israel. And more so that God gets Haggai to call the priests together and ask them some questions. Now, historically, if God is calling the priest to the carpet, it's not really a good scenario. And he asks two questions, one that is the answer is yes, and one that the answer is no. And it's in many ways reflects, or I guess you could say Jesus' teaching, reflects a lot of what's going on here when he talks to the Pharisees. He often asks them questions about the law, allowing them to answer and allowing their own conclusions to bring about the proper teaching and come into alignment with what Jesus is teaching, whether they like it or not. Now, this is the sixth sermon from Haggai that we've been looking at. And verse 10 establishes that this is the third sermon that the remnant of the Israel has heard from Haggai. So they have heard three sermons. You've heard six sermons on Haggai. I'm sorry. Haggai just preaches a lot shorter, I guess that is. But we've got our third sermon and third really speech from Haggai. And this message was preached 2 months after the previous sermon. So 2 weeks have passed for us since we talked about the last sermon. 2 months have passed in the time of the people of Israel in Haggai where this is preached. And the people have started working again, and verse indicates that this is the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. And this becomes a teachable moment. And there's something here that's really important for us to realize about how God teaches us. And uses teachable moments and moments where we've struggled to help us grow, to help us be holy, to help us follow Him. And so when we look at this, while God stirred them to get to work on the physical aspects of the temple, now He's concerned about what's going on in their spiritual lives. Right? He's saying, I worked so hard to get you going on building my temple. But are you even going to know what to do once you get there? How's your heart? How's your relationship with me? Are you doing all the things that you're supposed to do that I had commanded you to do? And I say this because it's probably easy for us to do the same thing as well, isn't it? It's probably easy for us to be so excited about getting back as a community. And once we're there, we have to be ready to look and continue to work on our heart, on our relationship with Jesus. And in all the excitement, sometimes that goes by the wayside, and the excitement to see people in person. To say it another way, it's easy to focus on the external while ignoring the internal. The people have thought that since they were serving, they must be okay spiritually. Because they were doing what God said physically, that spiritually they must be okay too. Yet therein lies the problem. They're constructing the temple, but not much has changed in their circumstances, and they're having a problem with that. God, we saw and heard what you wanted us to do, and now we're doing it. But our circumstances in life are kind of the same. And that's something very important for us to take a look at. Since they were doing what God wanted them to do, they expected all of their problems to go away. They started wondering if it was worth it to obey God because their problems in life were still there, even though they were doing what God was calling them to do. And actually, as we take a look at this, in verse 10, we see again that term, thus says the Lord, and we see that it is, in this case, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet. This is another way that's what's stated in chapter 1, verses 13. It's stated again in chapter 2, verse 1, of this Haggai being that direct messenger of the Lord, coming to speak truth into the people's lives. Telling them to get right in listening to God, but telling them to get right in their relationship with Him as well. And realize that as God leads them, their problems aren't going to just disappear. In fact, next week we're going to talk about the blessings that God promises. But even despite blessings that God promises, doesn't mean that the problems go away, yet it's something that we often think should. In verse 11, God reminds them just who He is. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the name Jehovah or Yahweh as we pronounce it. It's such a powerful name that we don't even mention it when we read Hebrew scripture. Whenever we see the personal name of God, we just simply say Adonai. It's got such reverence that comes with it. It doesn't matter where you go or to study. If you come across the personal name of God and you try and pronounce it however you wish, you'll get reamed out by your teacher because that's the personal name of God that needs to be that carries such reverence with it. This is the personal name of God being used by Haggai. As God delivers this message to them, it's a way of letting them know he's serious. He means business about what he's asking them. After reminding them of who he is, he gives them an assignment. Ask the priests about the law. See what they're up to. This was one of the purposes of the priesthood, according to Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. For the lips of the priest should guard knowledge and should seek people and should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is a messenger of the Lord of hosts. With this in mind, God tells the people to go get the priests with two questions. And these questions are a bit odd for us. And you're probably wondering, how on earth does this have to do with anything that we're dealing with now, as it deals with food law, or it appears to deal with food law? But what it is about actually following God and remaining holy by following him. Let's take a look at the first two questions and see what they have for us. The first question is found in verse 12. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of the garment and of his garment and touches with his fold, bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? Here's the response. The priest answered simply, no. Meat that was holy was consecrated and set apart for offerings. It was common for people to wrap it up in the fabric of their garments and keep it separated from ordinary food. And that's why this question is asked. And so, secondly, the second question is found in verse 13. If someone who is unclean by contact with a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? The priests give their answer. It does become unclean. And this is because of the passage that they know and would have learned from Numbers chapter 19 in the law, which whoever touches a dead body of any person shall be unclean for 7 days. God is asking these two questions for a purpose, not about food law. But food law is so important to them that they have that when God draws their attention to this and they see the true purpose of why God is asking this, they can realize just exactly what's going on. God is pointing out the sin and pervasiveness that happens because of sin. Really, what is being said here is hanging out with a holy person does not make you holy, but hanging out with an unholy person can make you unholy. Do you get that? This is what he's saying with food, except this is the message that he's saying as far as following him and not following him. If you hang out with a holy person, it's not going to make you unholy. But if you hang out with an unholy person, then God is saying you better believe that it's going to make you unholy. Good things don't automatically make other things good, but bad things make other things bad. That means that being holy requires being intentional. It requires effort. Whereas being unholy requires no effort whatsoever. After hearing these two questions, we arrive at verse 14. So it is with this people and this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. God's pointing to what it means for them to be unholy, but also a call to be united in moving together forward in a way which they are able to become holy. It's almost this early version of discipleship as he's calling them together as a community to grow as individuals, to allow the community to support each other as they walk forward to become holy. There's strength in numbers. But our relationship with Jesus is that's individual. But that doesn't negate what it means for us to act, how we should act as a community. So you've probably noticed that, yes, I'm wearing a hockey jersey. And yes, it is a Canadian hockey jersey, and this is from the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. And anybody who is a Canadian knows what happened at the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver. In fact, they know exactly where they were during the hockey game where we see and we refer to as the golden goal. It was an example of a nation coming together. And you think that TV ratings are high. This was the gold medal game for hockey. And if there's one thing that Canada needs to win at, it's hockey. It's a source of pride, whatever it may be. And we were playing in the gold medal game and on home turf. And at one point during that game, it went into overtime. And during overtime, they say that 85 to 90% of the entire nation was watching that game. Think about that in sheer numbers. 85 to 90% of that of the entire nation was watching this one hockey game. And in fact, I challenge you that if you ask a Canadian, if you're sitting with a Canadian, they would probably be able to tell you where they were when the golden goal was scored. And if they are an older Canadian, they'll even be able to tell you where the great goal of the 1972 Russia series was scored. We're fairly passionate about hockey. You'll get to know it, and there'll be a few references and sermons ahead. But I think of this sheer number. The sheer number of people focused on one thing. And we put that into the context of church. Shouldn't church be all of us focusing on God, whether we are just walking in the doors for the first time and asking about who God is and just have questions about who Jesus is? Shouldn't church be a place where we're allowed to ask questions openly about who Jesus is, to wrestle with questions about who Jesus is? But even us wrestling with questions about who God is still us moving closer to God. It doesn't matter if you're walking in the doors and you've been there you're going there for the first time, or you're watching online for the first or second time and you're hearing about Jesus. It's all right to ask those questions. For us as a church, it's important that we focus all of our attention on moving closer to Jesus, being discipled and discipling others, keeping it holy. And it sounds so cliche of just keep holy. But holiness is that pursuit of following God and following God where he calls us to go. Sin can lead to an avalanche of disobedience. Sin leads to ruptured relationships in our lives. And God wants holy hearts more than sacrificial service. God wants us to follow him passionately more than just simply serve. And that's where Haggai is, delivering a message to the people who don't quite get it. They're going through the motions, yet God is saying, I want more of your heart. I want more of that relationship. Not just going through the motions because I told you to build a temple. Now you build a temple. I want you to imagine and be excited about what is going to happen once it's completed and what worship looks like. The Lord of hosts tells us what he's looking for in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. For I desire steadfast love, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. God's telling the people in Hosea, he's telling the people in Haggai, you got to check yourself and see what's going on in your life. I'm so excited for us to be moving forward. And each week there's something new. There's something new about the relaunch or the restart. And there's always new information about what's happening and new components of things being live in church. And it's, again, exciting for all of this to happen. But as we look at our relaunch team, as we look at the pastoral team, as we look at the people who have been putting it together, their purpose is not just simply so that we can see each other. Their purpose is so that we can see each other and go forward together, focused on God and being discipled. God is telling us this. God wants your heart because if he has your heart, he has every part of your life. Proverbs 4 verses 23 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Holy begins in the heart. Outward rituals are never enough because God is all about that relationship that stems from revering him. The pursuit of holiness does not occupy a space in our hearts as it probably should. And there's several reasons for that. It's very easy whether we have a passion for God or not, whether we don't want to make it a passion in our lives. There's a quote that I love by an author that is probably my favorite author. And he's actually was the youth pastor for our regional minister up in Saskatchewan, but is a great biblical scholar. And now I've been trying to convince our regional minister up here to come, to get him to come to our regional meetings. And I would be a big fanboy in the front with all the books stacked up high, getting him ready to sign all my books on Greek exegesis and all of this stuff. But he's got this great quote that I love, and it's all about holiness, and it's all about what this looks like for us. And I hope you're challenged by it. It says, people do not drift towards holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate towards godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. In fact, we drift towards compromise and call it tolerance. We drift towards disobedience and call it freedom. We drift towards superstition and call it faith. We cherish indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch towards prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking that we've escaped legalism. We slide towards godlessness and conceive ourselves we have been liberated. What he's saying is that holiness and moving closer to God requires us to be intentional. It requires work. Because it's so easy to drift the other way. And the message of the food law is just that. Hanging out with someone holy is not going to make you holy. But hanging out with someone unholy is going to cause you to shift that direction. We don't drift towards holiness. We got to be intentional about moving that direction. We drift towards compromise. We drift towards disobedience. We cherish indiscipline and self-control. We need to be able to intentionally go in that direction of following God in prayer, in godliness, in faith. That's what God is calling us to do. To check in with ourselves and our relationship with him and say it's not about the actions, it's about this relationship. And so as we give glory to God like we talked about last week and we move from Haggai into this section here, which tells us to check our hearts, next week it builds into that, saying if you give God the glory, if you check your hearts, then blessings come. And we're going to talk about what that is. But we're going to stop there for now. And I just want to say that if you've got questions about this, if you're struggling with this, about drifting that wrong direction, then please contact us. And there's several ways in which you can do that. The number one way right now is just through our online contact form. And right on our website at sunrise.church, we've got places where you can ask for prayer and places where you can just inquire with questions. If you feel yourself drifting away from holiness, drifting away from faith, drifting away from delight in the Lord, you feel like you've been just going through the monotony of routine, and that's what your Christ, what it means for you to be a Christ follower right now, rather than a relational thing, then reach out, and we want to help guide you and help partner with you and come alongside you in that role of you becoming a disciple. While our own Christian faith is individual with Him, our role as a church is coming along each of us as we are able to help each other grow and be intentional about moving towards holiness, following God, and seeing the blessings that come from that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can come together and celebrate who you are, but also be challenged about where our hearts are, where our relationship is. Are we intentionally moving towards you? Are we drifting unintentionally away from you? God, help us to be that community that comes alongside each other, whether it is in person or it's our online community. Help us grow together. Help us to come alongside those who are struggling. Help us to be willing to wrestle with those questions openly about who you are and deal with those struggles openly about our walk with you. Let us be a church and a people that can be vulnerable with each other and share where we need help so that we can be intentional in moving forward. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what we've done or what you've done in our lives. And we just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope you're enjoying this series. I know I am. Please make sure you catch some of the things that are going on this week, from Backshed Bible Study tomorrow or on Mondays to Pastors Live, where you get all the updates on what's going on with Relaunch, to our podcast that's happening Thursday as a way to really bring us into the weekend. There's so many things that we're doing, even as we get ready and are already starting to bring things back onto campus. We're keeping our online community going because we realize that this has had such a great impact and has been such a blessing to so many people. And we love seeing our community grow, even just in the online realm. And so we're so excited for some of the things that are going on. Take care. Have a great week. Have a happy Canada Day to our Canadians. And I will see you next week on Independence Day, or the day after Independence Day.